What I say is what I say. And honestly, Megan, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you have treated me, but I wouldn't do that.
Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and click River Talk. You get Dimitri 6 days a week, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Dimitri live and dangerously local. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, Dimitri encore and dangerously local. You hear me on these great radio stations, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality. You can also see the show, not that there's much to see, by going to Facebook or our Facebook live stream. We've got a very special guest that we're actually holding over from the past hour because he is so gosh darn good. A rising superstar in the MAGA movement, West Virginia State Senator Chris Rose, our very special guest. So, Chris, let me ask you a few more questions about what the behind-the-scenes stuff that the media simply will not cover here in the Upper Ohio Valley, especially the West Virginia side. One of them is where do the rhinos get all this money, and how are they getting all of this money? Where does it come from?
So a lot of it is like the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce, which is very woke. They twist arms of a lot of their members, all these small business owners in West Virginia, to give money to candidates that they want to push. And a lot of it is Shelley Moore Capito. Shelley Moore Capito has been de facto leader, quote unquote, of the Republican Party for so many years. Basically, whoever she says give money to gets it. Whoever she says doesn't, they don't get it. And then the same thing with a couple other people. Her, Bill Cole, and the Chamber of Commerce are really the ones that steer the money. And a lot of it is also big hospital networks. Like WVU Medicine, for example, like they actually were the number one employer of Mike Maroney's donors in the primary. Yeah, you know, he got over $600,000 just from doctors, and that was steered from the West Virginia Medical Association and the Chamber of Commerce. You know, they said this is who you back, and those people wrote $2,800 checks without even questioning it. So you have a lot of these people that are blindly following the marching orders of Shelley Moore Capito and a select few, and they just write these max checks without even, you know, they just hear, oh, she's a Republican, she says give money to this Republican, he must be good. They're not doing their own homework, and that's a problem and a challenge that we're going to have to try to overcome here in the next couple of years, is convincing these doctors and these small business owners and these entrepreneurs that have this money thinking they're donating to conservative causes, you know, is continue to enlighten them that they're actually not, and they need to do the research for themselves.
No question about it. Shelley Moore Capito, I was a big, big supporter of Nate Kane, great guy, one of many, about a half dozen people running for the open seat for the second congressional district. The heavy favorite was Riley Moore Capito. And I was warning people that this guy was a fraud, that he is better known as Rick Rattler, the lead singer of this heavy metal punk rock band that was into Satan worship. And this Riley Moore had a rap sheet, 17 or 18 different counts in Fairfax County, Virginia. And I did everything that I could to let people know that he is not this altar boy that that they were trying to portray, the image of him. And he got roughly 45% of the vote, which for someone with high name recognition and who's the favorite nephew of Shelley Moore Capito, that was next to a defeat, I think, for the Archmore family dynasty. What do you think?
I would agree with that. I definitely would agree that they underperformed the polling. The polling showed him around 80 to 85%, some as high as 90 in that race. Jeez. Considering he had all the money, the name ID and everything. And there's a couple of good, you know, Nate being one of them, a couple of good guys that ran, you know, Joe Early being the other.
Right.
You know, ran in that race, were super conservative, were good friends of mine, liked both of them, still do, very happy to see what they do in the future.
Yep.
But considering going up against those guys with no name ID, no money, starting from scratch, and he's polling at 90 and you finish at 45. One, kudos to the great hard work both those men put in, Joe and Nate both. But also, he has to ask himself, why did that happen? A lot of it is, West Virginia sent a message to Shelley Moore Capito, we do not want rhinos. We're sick and tired of it. We're sick and tired of the political family dynasty. we're tired of you promising to back Trump and stabbing him in the back every chance you get.
Yep.
She voted with Joe Biden more than she did Donald Trump.
I'm sorry, you're breaking it. You just broke.
Message. Was just on the receiving end of it.
Chris, I'm sorry, you just broke up. Give us that last part again. She voted with Joe Biden what now?
She voted with Joe Biden more than she ever did with Donald Trump, and West Virginia sent her a message saying that they're fed up with it. And unfortunately for Riley, he was on the receiving end of it in that primary.
No question. I did whatever I could to expose his dark side. And let me tell you, you know, if he has a real opponent, that is somebody with some sort of name recognition and most importantly with deep pockets, I'm telling you, I think he could be primaried very easily in 2 years. I mean, this is a very, very weak, wounded candidate with a terrible albatross around his neck. His years as Rick Rattler, and did you read some of the lyrics of some of those songs that he wrote? My God, the drugs, the sex, the this, the that, the Satan worship. I'm amazed this guy is still in politics.
Yeah, it's very surprising to see that wasn't more of a focal point. I mean, you did your part, but you know, not enough people talked about that in the primary. It didn't get the media attention it deserved, and you did your part, and you know, thank you for speaking up. But you know, this district goes all the way from, you know, over in the Moundsville area and Parkersburg all the way over to the Eastern Panhandle. And I think you're the only one on the radio or television to even cover this story. So I don't think most of the people who pulled the lever on that day knew about that. And you're exactly right. It's very disturbing lyrics. He claims to be born again, and maybe he is. We'll see. He has an opportunity to prove. Like he went around campaigning. He wasn't his aunt. Well, now he has 2 years to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a challenge I'll lay at his feet. If he is listening, Riley, you know, you have a chance to prove you're different. You campaigned that you were different. I hope you live up to that. I hope you join the Freedom Caucus. I hope you vote right. And I hope you prove a lot of people wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When he says he's born again, he may be. I wish him well. I do. But, you know, until you own your past, until you come clean and admit, yes, I was Rick Rattler. Yes, I supported Satan. Yes, I wrote all these lyrics about drug use and this, that, and the other. Until he does that, I think everybody should be very skeptical. You got to own your past if you're going to be saying to yourself, saying to everybody, well, now I'm a new person. It's like, okay, well, tell us who you were so we understand how far you've come. But he's never done that and has never said anything about his rap sheet in Fairfax County, Virginia either.
Well, that's a fair criticism. You're exactly right. He hasn't owned that. And I would, you know, if I was talking to him as a friend or a campaign advisor or anything, I would tell him, you know, to get out in front of that and, you know, apologize for it. You got to own it, apologize for it, and seek that redemption for it. You know, you got to do that. Yes, that's part of being born again as a Christian, is admitting the sins that you've done. You got to admit the fault. That's part of the path of redemption. And you're right, he hasn't done that. I encourage him to do so. I don't know that he will, but like you said, you know, if he doesn't vote right, he's going to be on the ballot at the same time that his aunt, the same one who already drug him down in the polls due to her unpopularity. And thank God she's finally becoming unpopular. That drug him down. And now next time he'll be up for reelection with her on the ballot, which has the opportunity to drag him down even farther. So you're right. He is very vulnerable. If he doesn't, you know, support President Trump's agenda, get with the Freedom Caucus and vote right, he is extremely vulnerable in a couple of years, and he absolutely should have that in the back of his mind.
No question. Who would be a good candidate to primary him? Are there people here that you know of who would be really good candidates and can raise money? Because I don't think it's going to take all that much to get rid of him.
So if we were to have a primary challenge for him, some of the people that come to mind would be Senator Mike Azinger out of Parkersburg. Very good conservative guy. Also has a huge voting block in Parkersburg that would help him. If you're doing Eastern Panhandle versus Eastern Panhandle, you have Senator Patricia Rucker, who is actually the one who brought school choice to West Virginia. Wow. She doesn't get enough credit for that. She's the one that actually introduced the bill that created the Hope Scholarship that a lot of other people talk about. So she obviously can run against him from the Eastern Panhandle. I've heard my name thrown out there a couple of times, but to prevent any bias, I'm dodging that. I'm going to sidestep that one. You also have, you know, Nate could run again. Nate has a television show that continues to build his name ID.
Yeah, great man.
So you have a couple of viable options to that could, you know, because I think it's going to be more difficult for him in reelection because where Shelley's on the ballot. You know, normally I wouldn't say that because incumbency has power, But in this situation, with Shelley directly on the ballot, that's going to drag any family member on the ballot down.
Oh, no question. So
that's going to be more difficult for him in re-election. This cycle, this re-election will be much more challenging for him than winning this in, back in May.
No question. And Shelley Moore Capito tried to install her son as governor and lost. And it's like, well, wait a minute. She's the grand dam of the Archmore family dynasty, and she couldn't even get her own son installed as governor. So I think she's got some really serious problems. And the more and more the people realize how she's undermining Trump and is she's the wingman for this decaying Kentucky cadaver, Mitch McConnell. Anytime he's up there speaking, who is standing on his right-hand side? It's Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia's wrinkled rhino. It just astonishes me. Here, this is the heart of MAGA Nation. All 55 counties, deep red, and you've got this wrinkled rhino who's representing the state. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I got a prediction I'm going to go ahead and make. I don't see that she wins re-election. One or two things is going to happen with Shelley. I think this has came to a breaking point. She's either not going to run for re-election, which is going to cause a 20-candidate sweepstakes to replace her.
Right.
Or she's going to run. It's going to shake out to be one-on-one with her and another candidate. And as of today, it looks like it's going to be former delegate and J6er Derek Evans, a good friend of mine.
Yes.
It looks like it's going to be a one-on-one race between them two. And I don't see any scenario where Trump doesn't endorse Derek in that race and where Shelley doesn't lose.
No
question.
She
either is going to lose to Derek Evans or she's going to retire. That's the two choices she's facing as we sit today.
No question. I got to take a short break. But before we do, did it surprise you when you were running for state senate against Maroney that the media in West Virginia, Hoppe and all the others, how no one would give you any chance to any exposure, any much of anything?
No, and that's actually something that as conservatives, not as a senator, but as a conservative on the grassroots side of things, we have to address. That media still does not cover me, does not cover Senate-elect President Randy Smith. And, you know, like to this day, when Hoppe Kirschfeld mentions Mike Maroney's legal challenges, because there has been some come up after the election, they will say Mike Maroney, who's not returning. Mike Maroney, who was defeated, but not say by who. So there's still that blackout of media coverage of me because I'm a MAGA Republican. So that's why I've went to national television for a lot of interviews. That's why I've obviously come on your radio show. You helped me overcome that challenge. But no, the local establishment media is going to continue to ignore us. So that's another thing where I was telling you, Morsi's stepping up to the plate. We're actually working with Morsi of getting a conservative radio network to disperse to other parts of the state where we don't have a Dimitri to be a voice for us. So we are looking at that. Where is the conservative black spots and try to fill them with conservative radio?
Yeah, you could create, in fact, we could talk about this. I could help create a statewide network. Oh, I'd be the host of this thing. I'd have all the MAGA candidates on. I'd have all of the everyone you know, on our side, and I think we can actually make this work. Give it some thought. We'll take a short break here. not so short, actually, but more with our special guest, Chris Rose.